I pray today that you are hungry. I pray that if you will partake of the milk of the word, that you will desire it today. I've never seen a baby that did not desire milk. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. I pray that if you're ready for the meat of the word, amen, that you get out your fork and your butter knife and let's cut these hot dogs up. I pray that today, if you're going to eat strong meat, get your toothpick out, because sometimes it gets stuck in your teeth. Whatever realm or whatever level that you are on, amen, there is no condemnation in Christ, because you're not like somebody else. But what you do need to know is that whatever level that you're at, you need to be climbing levels in faith. Amen. The Bible says that we move from faith to faith and glory to glory. So we should continue to get better. You shouldn't be the same person that people knew last year. Amen. Ain't it terrible when you see people that you knew when you was 18 years old, and then you see them and they're 40 and they're doing the same thing they was doing when they was 18? That means they were dwarfed in the spirit. Amen. Something came and hindered their growth and their development. And the word of God should empower every last one of us to be developed and to grow. Amen. So I'm going to say some very powerful, strong things today. We have two foundation scriptures that we have. John chapter 19, verses 28 through 30. Turn your Bible there. John chapter 19. Verses 28 through 30. And just to let you know, we believe in God so we can get to projectors and stuff. So we move in a new building. When I quote the scriptures, they're going to have the scriptures up on the actual things there. Come on, somebody say amen. 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 Are you guys feeling all right today? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Raise your hand if the enemy been whooping on your head all week. Amen. See, some people don't want to raise their hand, but I could tell by the way they respond. Amen. Let me tell you a little something. You're going to have battles with sin, flesh, and the devil all the days of your life. They don't change, but you have the ability to change. You have the ability to fortify yourself in your inner man so that you can withstand the assignments and the attacks of the enemy. Amen. Somebody say praise God. St. John chapter 19, verse 28 through 30. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, it is finished. Say it one more time. Say, it is finished. Well, if it's finished, you don't have to start doing nothing. It's finished. He bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Let's read that together. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm going too fast. I'll tell you, I want to dump this thing today. When you get there, somebody say, praise the Lord. Look at this. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. I want you to circle these key words, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. Circle that. Because a lot of people think that you're joining some type of Y club or some type of weightlifting club when you get born again. No, no, no. When you get born again, you get assimilated or baptized into another body. Into another system. You become one. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. You and Jesus ain't separated no longer. You are no longer alienated from the life of God. You are no longer strangers from the commonwealth of Israel. You are one with Jesus. Say this, say, I'm one with Jesus. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. A new creature. The actual Greek says one that has never, ever existed before. One that has never, ever existed before. That means that you are all brand new. Come on, say that. Say, I'm all brand new because I am in Christ. Now, watch this phrase right here after the semicolon. All things are passed away. All old things or old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The old lifestyle, the old habits, all of that stuff, the old mindset, in the mind of God, all of that is passed away. Let's look at the Amplified Bible. The Amplified Bible says, therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he is a new creature altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and the new has come. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, I am fresh and new. Now, the English preposition in here, you should already know. The English preposition in is denoting location. Just like you are in this room right here and you are not outside, you are in this room. You are geographically located somewhere. In Christ, you have been geographically located. You are in Christ. I want to get that branded in your mind. So the old you has passed away in the mind of God. Well, Pastor, if the old me has passed away, why am I still battling with the old me every single day? We're going to deal with that today. And we're going to make sure that you walk out of here with a mindset of understanding, amen, that you are a new creature, amen, and how to obtain that new lifestyle. Tell your neighbor, say, destination Jesus. Look at what it says here. The Bible also says that you and I are complete in Christ. Tell your neighbor, say, I am complete. The word complete means you walk in fullness. There's nothing missing in your life in Christ. Well, Pastor, why are there some things missing in my life? Because it could be what you're setting your mind on. It could be where you're placing your attention to. Watch this right here. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. If you can't move that fast, just write it down. Colossians 2, verse 9 and 10. It says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, I'm going to say something powerful. It says, in Jesus dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. How much of God is in Jesus? All of God is in Jesus, or in him. All of him, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, abides in Jesus in a bodily form. Now watch this right here. And it says, you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. So the Bible is saying here, watch this. Not only are you new creatures in Christ, but everything that God has and everything that God is in the person of Christ. Everything, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is in the person of Christ. And not only that, now it's saying you are complete in him. Now, in order for you to understand it, I'm going to read this right here, the Amplified Bible. It says, for in him the whole fullness of deity, the Godhead, continues to dwell in bodily form, giving complete expression of the divine nature of God. And you are in him. You are made full and having come to fullness of life. In Christ, you too are filled, watch this, with the Godhead. In Christ, you are filled with the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And you reach full spiritual stature, not half spiritual stature, not 99% of it, but the Bible said full spiritual stature, and he is the head of all rule and all authority of every angelic principality and power. Now, here's what we have here. We have the word of God telling us that we have this awesome potential of walking in completeness, of walking in completion, not when you go to heaven, but right now, right here on planet Earth. You and I are complete in Christ. And in Christ is all the fullness of God. Everything that God is and ever will be abides in Jesus in a bodily form. But now the Bible said you are in him. So the first thing that you and I begin to think about is that how am I in him? Because we begin to think like Nicodemus think. How can a man enter into his mother's womb a second time and be born again? Because we automatically think natural. But when you think of Jesus, you're not thinking just of the man who walked the shores of Galilee. He's the King of Kings. When you think of Jesus now, you have to see him as the head of the body of Christ. You and I are the body of Christ. Come on, say this. Say, I'm the body of Christ. And we are in him, and he is in us, and all of the fullness of God dwells in this body in a bodily form. Everything that God is. Come on, somebody say amen. Everything that God ever will be is manifested and revealed in his body. The sum total of God is manifested and revealed in his body, in you and I. Well, why don't we walk in that power? Why don't we walk in that anointing? The reason why is because we're having a battle between two different natures. Come on, somebody say amen. Two different natures. And what we're going to do is we're going to separate those today to help you get an understanding. In order for us to separate them, you have to first understand our identification in and with Christ. The first thing that we have to understand, and this is it right here. This is really powerful right here. That you and I, the old sinful nature, the body of sin, we have been crucified with Christ. Now turn your Bible to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. We have been crucified with Christ. This is powerful. I want you to see this. And I've been giving these scriptures for the last three services, but I want to brand them in you. Because tell your neighbor to say, neighbor, I can tell you what your problem is. You ready to find out what it is? Say, neighbor, you are your problem. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, you got to learn to get out the way. Tell your neighbor, say, move, get out the way. Amen. Don't get religious on me. Look at this right here. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This is very, very important right here. Because our goal as pastors should be to disciple you and teach you who you are. Amen. You know what? I love preaching. I love jumping around, spitting, and walking on chairs, and hallelujah. I love doing that. But do you know what? At the end of the day, people go home and they still are defeated. Come on, somebody say amen. I want to put something in your human spirit where you can grab this thing, you go out of this place today, and you're going to put a whooping on the devil. Amen? Because in Christ, Jesus is the head of all principality and power. We're going to tie them together and show you that you're warring against these principalities and power. But guess what? When you start the fight, you already won the fight. I'm going to say it again. When you start the fight, you already won the fight. My God. I tell you what, if you get two more quiet in here, I'm going to take a plant out there and throw it out there and hit somebody. Amen. Ain't no devils going to be in this church. I bind that in Jesus' name. Watch this. The NALI translation says, I have been crucified with Christ. Now it is not my old self, but Christ himself who lives in me. Now, I'm going to make you repeat this because I want you to brand it in your spirit. Say, it is not my old self, but it's Christ himself. Well, you mean to tell me I'm not living and Jesus is living through me? Absolutely. Absolutely. We're going to take that old man to the funeral. The Crest translation says, I died. Who died? Who died? I died when Jesus died on the cross. I do not live now, but Christ lives in me. Who lives in you? Christ. Who died? Christ. The Law Books translation said, Christ took me to the cross with him, and I died there. Who died? Christ. When he's talking about he's talking about that body of sin, that old sinful nature, that old party in you, that old cussing you, that old cheating you, that old sleeping around you, that old, you know who I'm talking about. You know that guy that's riding your back all the time, making you experience bad situations? That person is dead. In the mind of God, he doesn't exist any longer. Come on, somebody say amen to this. The Arthur S. Way translation says this right here. Yes, I have shared Messiah's crucifixion. I am living indeed, but it is not I that is living. It is Messiah who lives in me. The Marshall translation says, with Christ, I have been co-crucified. You know what it means to be co-crucified? It means the same time he died and he got crucified, you died. You got crucified. Amen. My favorite one, the Distilled translation. I want you to brand this one in your spirit. I consider myself as having died and now enjoying a second existence, which is simply Jesus using my body. Come on, somebody give God some praise. This is powerful. When you think of Jesus in the Word of God, do you ever see him ever being defeated? When death arrived in his life, what did he do? How did he respond to natural death? He raised them up from the death. When sickness and disease came around his vicinity or his sphere, whenever that happened, how did Jesus respond to sickness and disease? The Bible said all the sick were brought to him and he healed them all. I'm walking somewhere with this right here, okay? Whenever hunger approached Jesus, he looked at the disciples and he said, what do we have to give them? They said, we only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. He said, bring it here to me. I'm trying to show you something. He took the loaves, he broke the loaves, he blessed them, he gave it to the disciples. The disciples took it, distributed unto 5,000 men. Theologically, there were women and children there. That means it was 15,000 people there. He fed them with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Come on, somebody say amen. Whenever Jesus encountered a natural obstacle, Jesus, knowing who he was, had the ability, watch this, to override time, to override space, and to override matter. Jesus had this anointing on the inside of him. Oh my God, I'm trying to show you something. Well, guess what? You're not living any longer. I told you I was going somewhere with this. It's Christ living on the inside of you. And he wants you to crucify that nature and reckon yourself indeed dead to sin. Why? So he can continue in his work. Are you catching what I'm saying? He still wants to raise the dead. He still wants to supernaturally provide for people. Jesus is in the blessing business. Jesus still wants to raise people up out of hospital beds, heal the sick. But guess what? It's us getting in his way. Come on, somebody say amen to this. Glory to God. Somebody caught what I said today. Whenever you think of crucifixion, you cannot talk about crucifixion without dealing with the cross. The cross is the place of execution. A lot of preachers, even myself, I remember telling people, you just give it all to Jesus and everything will be all good. You know what? I'm going to start initiating people right into the gang called Christianity. When you come to the cross, you got to die. Come on, somebody say amen. When you come to the cross, you got to die. Because if you don't die, guess what? Jesus can't live. If you don't deny yourself, Jesus said, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world but yet lose his soul? Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you don't die, Jesus can't live. This ain't a matter of whether you go to heaven or go to hell. This is way bigger than that. Glory be to God. See, we done got stuck on those pie in the sky messages where we're missing the whole purpose of why we are here. If heaven was your destination, when you got born again, he could have took you, beam me up, Scotty. But he said in John 17, I don't pray that you take them out of the earth. I pray that you keep them while they're in the earth. Why? Because there's something on the inside of you called Jesus. Someone on the inside of you called Jesus that still want to heal the sick, raise the dead, bless the hungry. You got to catch what I'm saying. He still want to do his job in the earth. See, the Bible said, had the principalities and the rulers of this world known, they would have never crucified Jesus. Why? Because when he fell into the earth and died, he was like a seed that germinated and broke open. And then all of a sudden that tree bore fruit. And that's you and I. It's not just one Jesus now. It's a whole bunch. You got to catch what I'm saying. We are the anointed body of Jesus Christ. It's all over the Bible. Man. The cross is the place of execution. Luke 9:23 says, he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny what? Himself. Take up his cross daily and follow me. Luke 14:27. This is powerful right here. And I want you to get it. Luke 14:27. Against American popular opinion, against contemporary Christianism, Jesus' words still stand out. Against seeker-friendly churches. No disrespect. I'm like Benny Hinn. I like the thing he said. The seeker-friendly churches are destroying the world right now. They're literally because they're so busy about pleasing people. But the Apostle Paul said, if I please people, then I'm not a pleaser of God. You better catch what I'm saying. You can't be a people pleaser and please God at the same time. Amen. People doing surveys to see what people like or not like in church and build their church off of that. That ain't God. I don't care how many people they got. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. That's not the Holy Ghost. Watch this right here. Luke 14:27, Jesus' words still stand out. Whosoever does not bear his cross, what is the cross? The place of execution, self-denial, where you die and he lives. He said, whoever does not bear his cross and come after me, he cannot be my disciple. I'm going to say a powerful statement. I want you to write it down. And listen, don't nobody get mad because I can prove it all day long in Scripture. Your destination is not heaven. Heaven is coming to earth. Your destination is to be like Jesus. Yeah. Never forget this. If I can get your mind on the pie in the sky, I can get your mind off of what you're supposed to be doing here. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. If I'm doing something, I'm occupied doing something, amen, and then somebody comes to distract me with something else to do, I get my mind off of what I was doing. Well, if I can be the enemy and distract you to get your mind, guess what? He don't mind if you populate heaven. What he does mind is if heaven comes here. And the Bible said, don't pray that you go to heaven. He said, pray that the kingdom comes so that the will can be done in earth as it is in heaven. And that's what the enemy don't want. He don't want you to realize that you've been crucified with Christ. He wants you to have your mind on the pie in the sky. Come on, somebody say amen. So that while you're here on earth, you won't be helping these little fatherless kids. While you're here on earth, you'll be thinking about you, yourself, and I got my whole holy life together. Me, myself, my foe, and no more. We got it all together, amen. That's what the enemy wants. He don't want us over there in the 18,000 square foot building set up as an embassy on the east side where all of the stuff go down. He don't want us over there. He'd rather us just have a little church, amen, somewhere in a little small building where everybody can come and clap their hands on Sunday morning and on Wednesday night. But the devil is a liar. Because guess what? They're going to be going in and they're going to be coming out. And we're going to be going to dope houses, crack houses, trap houses. You better catch what I'm saying. Rich people houses, poor people houses. We're going to be doing it all. In the streets, bringing the people in. Amen. We'll be able to get up in the morning like Pastor Gerard said, get out of prayer and walk right outside and start praying for people. I'll tell you, I'm happy. In order for us to understand, I gotta identify with three more things, and then I'm gonna go into these two different men. The second phase of identification with Christ after being crucified is being buried. The word buried means that we are absorbed and assimilated into the body of Christ. We have been baptized into one body. 1 Corinthians 12 and 13, Romans 6 and 4. You and I have been absorbed and assimilated into the body of Christ. What does that mean? We become one. This is powerful here. We become one. Now, ain't it funny? Watch this. Ain't it funny that the body of Christ is one, but Satan's name, devil, means to divide, to make two. See, what he wants to do is create division and separation. And see, he did it smart throughout the years, but God raised up prophets of God like Martin Luther King and different people to break down those walls of segregation and separation, because you and I all know that Sunday morning is the most segregated day on planet Earth. Everybody knows that. Everybody know that. Amen. Can I say another powerful statement? Amen. You could tell what's in your heart by who you hang around with. If all you hang around with is black people, you can tell what's in your heart. If all you hang around with is white people, you can tell what's in your heart. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. And see, those are the very things that cause division. Somebody say division. It's going to get deep. Amen. So the third phase is we are risen with Christ. We are risen with Christ. Say, I'm risen with him. Just like Jesus was raised from the dead, you and I were raised from the dead spiritually. When he rose, we rose with him. Ephesians 2 and 6 says this right here. You and I were raised up and made to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We were raised up and we were made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, what does those heavenly places signify? The Bible talks about it in Ephesians chapter 1, that those heavenly places is far above principality. Watch this. Far above power, far above might, far above dominion, and every name that is named. I'm telling you right now that you have power over all the power of the enemy. I'm going to say it again. You have power, not figuratively speaking, you have power over all the power of the enemy. Well, what's hindering us from operating in that power? Here it is right here. Turn to Colossians 3. Turn to Colossians 3. Is this some all right teaching, y'all? Colossians chapter 3. This is powerful right here. Look at verse 1. It says, if. Somebody say, if. If you then be risen with Christ. I want to circle that word if right there. Because really, the whole key is, do you see yourself risen with Christ? That's the whole key. See, if you still see yourself as the old dirty sinner, then guess what? All of this stuff that I'm saying to you is obsolete. Because guess what? You can take a horse to the water, but you can't make him drink. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. If you still see yourself as a sinner saved by grace, then guess what? That's exactly what you're going to get. If you're sin conscious, guess what? You're going to get and you're going to replicate sin consciousness. But if you are righteous conscious, you're going to replicate righteous consciousness. Now, you cannot be a sinner and righteous simultaneously. I said it 1,000 times at this church, but I have to keep saying it. It's impossible to be a sinner and be righteous simultaneously. To say that you are a sinner after having been, listen to these two words, born again. That means the old man died and this is a new you. To say you are a sinner is to slap in the face Jesus and the work of his cross. And the words that he said, it is finished. Glory to God. Are you catching this? To say that you are a sinner is to slap him in the face. You are not a sinner. You are not a sinner. You are not a sinner. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, watch this right here. See, this is where sometimes Bible scholars and stuff has messed us up with this scripture right here. Look at verse 1. Seek those things which are where? Now, he said, if you are risen with Christ. If you see yourself risen with Christ, he's telling you, start seeking those things that are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Now, remember, you and I were risen together with him and made to sit in heavenly places at the right hand of God. Watch this right here. Set your affections. Circle that word affections. The word affections means your mind. Set your mind on things where? Things where? Now, he's going to tell you where above is. Read it. Keep reading. Where's above at? Keep reading it. Where Christ sits at the right hand of God. That's above. Here's what he's telling you. He's telling you, in your identification with Christ, hear me, brother and sister, you were crucified. The old you. I gave you 6 translations to prove that you don't exist any longer. The body of sin is dead. That old person, crucified. Not only were you crucified, you were assimilated into a new body through baptism. Now you become one with Christ. When you became one with him, he rose and you rose with him. Why? Because you're one with him. Not only did you rise with him when he sat down at the right hand of God, you sat down with him, in him. Now he's telling you, because you are this new creature, you have this new life, because you have this permeating, anointed life, start looking at different things. Quit looking back at what you used to be, what you used to do. Quit talking about how it used to be, who you used to hang out with, because that man is what? He's dead. He says, start seeking things that are above, the things that are in Christ. Start looking at the in Christ realities, who you are in Christ, what you have in Christ, what you're able to do in Christ. Quit talking about this over here. The Apostle Paul said, look here, I have not already attained. He said, but this one thing that I do, I forget those things that are behind me, and I press toward the mark for the prize, which is in Christ. Man, I got one hand clap. Y'all got to catch this. See, you're all brand new. You're a new creature in Christ. You're anointed by God. You're favored by God. But what the devil want to do is keep you back over here talking about all this mess when you're sitting over here blessed. Look what it says right here. Set your affections on things above, not on things of earth. For you are what? For you are what? For you are what? Who's dead? The old sinful nature. He gone. He went to the cross. The body of sin hung on the cross. Is this good teaching, y'all? The body of sin hung on the cross. You know what? That body is dead. He don't have no life in him. He can't make you do anything no more. That's what the Bible said. Don't be servants to sin any longer, but become servants or slaves to righteousness. Glory to God. For you are dead, and your what? Life is hid with Christ in God. We started off with that. One translation says, you are dead in your real life. Somebody say, my real life is hidden with Christ in God. Look at verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, when Christ, who is our life. I'm going to say it again. When Christ, who is our life. See, we're going back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. The Bible said God took the man that he formed out of the dust ground and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of what? Life. And man, boom, became a living soul. One translation, actual Hebrew says he became another speaking spirit. You know what that means? There was no life in the body until Christ was put in. The Hebrew language call it ruach. Ruach, the life of God, the spirit of God on the inside of you and I. I'm going to tell you like the movie that she just said. The kid said, I can't do it without you. He said, you have no idea what you're capable of doing. My God. I'm going to say it to you again. You have no idea what you're capable of doing. But the more you start spending time seeking things that are above, setting your affection on things that are above, rather than things on the earth. See, preachers told us, he was talking about put your mind on heaven, because there's no moth up there, and there's no rust up there, and there's no corruption up there. I'm gonna bless y'all up in a minute with something I'm about to say. There's none of that stuff up there decaying. Instead of putting your mind on the earth, because there's rust down here, there's moth. That's not what it's talking about. He's not talking about that. He's telling you to set your mind on something that is heavenly, because you and I have the ability to draw from heaven and be the transmitters or the conveyors to get what's in heaven and earth. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? This is powerful. Through our prayers, through our faith, through our meditating the word. Can I say it, G-Rod? Can I say it? Do you know where this church was before it came here on Main Street? It was in a bar. Do you know where this church was before it was in the bar? Do you know where this church was before it was in the apartment building? How come you don't know? It was in heaven. I'm saying something powerful here. Before the church came to Rivers Bend Apartment, it was in heaven. And I sought something that was in heaven. And God revealed it to me. And then I took it in my spirit and it became vision. Come on, somebody say amen. And I pulled from heaven and it manifested in an apartment. But guess what? I just opened the door because many people couldn't see it. That's why some people left, because they couldn't see it. But then next thing you know, we was in a little small room that set 49 people. And it was nothing but kids breakdancing and doing a wave and doing a Soul Train line down the middle of the aisles. And some people began to see heaven in earth. But then that wasn't it, because that was just the door opening a little bit wider. I'm trying to tell you something right now. The Bible said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So when you get the kingdom in you, you got the ability to see heaven. You got the ability to see what God sees. And when you see what God sees, now you start saying it. I'm going to start a church. Its name going to be Image of God Christian Center Church. You got to catch what I'm saying. And then people look at you like you're stupid, because what? You are doing what heaven says. I'm calling things that be not as though they were. See, G-Rod was with me in the car when we had our hats on and the earrings on. We driving back from Daytona Beach. And I said, God is showing me heaven. I think God wants me to start this church and it won't leave me. I saw something in heaven. Now we look back and said, thank God we obeyed him. For the hundreds, I'm telling you the same thing. Listen to this right here. You have the ability to seek things that are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. My God. You are not limited to what's going on here. Every car, every pole, every tree is a manifestation of what was in heaven before it came here. Somebody caught what I said. Jesus. That's why you don't have to chase it. All you got to do is reveal it. I said something powerful. See, the world system, can I preach today? See, the world system wants you to chase your dream. God wants you to discover your dream. Reveal your dream. See, the world wants you to chase money. But baby, all the wealth you need is already in you. You got to catch this right here. It's in you already. All you got to do is take the cover off. Pull the cover off. Apocalypse, reveal it. My God. Well, maybe if I do, it's kind of funny how the devil occupies our minds. I'm just going to be real. You know, we got infomercials, how to get rich quick schemes, All this stuff is there to occupy our minds so that we won't discover what God put in us. Can I help you today? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 says that your eyes cannot see, your ears cannot hear, neither does it enter into your mind the things that God has revealed or the things that God has prepared for them that love him, but God has revealed them by his Spirit. So this thing is set up where believers can get in close, intimate fellowship with the knower. The Holy Ghost is the knower. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You got to catch this. The Spirit of God is the knower. He knows the deep, intimate mysteries, secrets, and the knowledge of God. He knows every intricate detail of your life, my life, all of us at the same time. The Spirit of God knows. Nothing is a mystery to God, but yet it's a mystery to us. What is a mystery? Something that is hidden. It's not hidden from us, but it's hidden for us. Because had the devil know that Jesus was going to duplicate himself, he never would have crucified him. You got to catch this. So if the devil knows what your plans are, he can stop them. So it's hidden for you. Man, it's hidden for you. So what does God do? God pulls you. Come on into prayer. Come on into my presence. Come on into the house of God. Come on, get the word of God. Put the things of God first. Quit putting everything else before God. Put God first. Seek his kingdom first. And guess what? Build your life from that perspective. Don't build your life based upon, I got to do this. I got to do that. That's the enemy keeping you occupied. Instead of you occupying. Glory to God. Here it is. We've been seated together. Now, tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, there's only two men. I'm going to show you something here. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. Turn there. Don't get mad at me, G-Rod. 1 Corinthians 15. Turn there. Y'all ready to learn something today? Well, Pastor, we already learned something, but y'all ready to learn something today? I'm telling you, this is going to bless you up. Can I just be real, y'all? We are Christians. We are believers. There's a certain way that we do things. We are ambassadors of the kingdom of God. Those of us who are pastors are called into a holy office to be apostles, pastors, evangelists, pastors, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Why? So that we can perfect you. If the word that we preach doesn't perfect you, then we're not doing our job. And then one day we'll have to stand before God. Doesn't matter how many skits we do. Can I be real? Doesn't matter how many skits we do, you know, how many watermelons we throw off the stage to you. I've done that before. I throw apples and fruits and hit people in the head with grape and stuff like that to make my analogies clean and plain. But if the word of God that we preach don't conform you to the image of God, then we're missing God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because guess what? You ought to be able to get up here and stand up here and preach this word just like I do. Come on, somebody say amen. How else would you be a witness if you couldn't do it? But you can't preach what you don't know. And I don't mean know intelligently or intellectually. I mean to know in your spirit. You got to get a revelation of this thing for yourself. Because everywhere you go, you are the hands and the feet of Jesus. You are the mouthpiece of Jesus. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If the world is going to be saved, it's going to be saved through us. I'm going to say it again. If the world is going to be saved, it's going to be saved through us. Amen? Here it go. Yeah, Mike, we're going to have to build them steps at that other building. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15, 45 through 49. You ready? And so it is written, the first man, Adam, circle that. The first man, Adam, circle that. The first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a life-giving or quickening spirit. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, in the mind of God, only two men exist on planet Earth. Only two men. Watch this right here. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. 47. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthly, such are they also that are the earthly. What is he saying here? As is the heavenly, such are they that are the heavenly. What is he saying here? The person that identifies with the earthly man will be earthy. But the person that identifies with the heavenly man will be heavenly. If you're having a problem understanding why you're still identifying with the earthy, it's because that's what you're giving yourself to. That's what you're giving your attention to. That's what you're giving your time to. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, be not deceived. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Hear what I'm saying? If you sow to the flesh or the natural man, you're going to reap that life of that natural man. But if you start sowing and seeking and aiming at and striving for that life that's in the spiritual, the Bible says you're going to reap life eternal. Is this plain, y'all? You catching this right here? There's two different places that you can sow to. The old nature or the new nature in Christ. Now watch this right here. It says, and as we have borne the image of the earthly, and as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. The word born there means to wear as clothing. The same way you wear as clothing the image of the earthly, you're going to wear as clothing the image of the heavenly. Now watch this right here. Romans 13 and 14. Turn there. Romans 13 and 14. Romans 13 and 14. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, there's some Holy Ghost teaching today. I'm telling you, it's going to help you. I'm telling you, it's going to help you. I tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, I'm going to crucify my lust. I'm going to crucify my lust. Somebody say amen. You know, before I read Romans 13, I'm going to read James chapter 1, verse 13, because I need to point something out. Can I do that, y'all? Just stay with me for a minute. You ready? Because I'm almost done. I got two more scriptures. I'm almost done. James chapter 1, verse 13 said, let no man say when he is tempted. How many ever got tempted? Raise your hand. Let no man say he is tempted. I'm going to tell you the art of temptation. Satan cannot tempt you with anything that's not common to you. He cannot tempt you with anything that is not in you. Jesus said in one of the synoptic gospels that Satan is coming, but he has nothing in me. You and I got to get to the place in our life where we can say that boldly. He can come, but there's nothing in me. Pastor Bill Winston said something when we were there in February. It was real powerful. He said, you know, instead of me trying to bind the apple pie and restrain myself from the apple pie, he said, why don't I just get the apple pie out of me? See, if it's not in me, I won't have a desire for it. You got to catch what I'm saying. Desire and appetite is built through repetitious seeing. Listen, I promise you this. You might tell me today, Pastor Claude, I'll never eat chitlins a day in my life. I'm going to tell you right now. If you come over my house and I cook up some of them chitlins and they stinking and I get rid of the smell and I cut them up, put a little leaves beside them, some salt, a little pepper, a little hot sauce on the side. Don't hate yet. Watch this. Watch this. Blindfold you for a minute. You take a bite, you might be like, nah, I ain't feeling that. But repetitiously, you keep coming, you take a bite. Nah, I ain't feeling it. All of a sudden, you'll be like, man, this don't taste that bad. Now, can I be real? When I used to drink beer, I used to ask myself, why do I like this? It tastes nasty. Come on, somebody say amen to this. But like, it tastes nasty. Why do I like it? Because repetitiously, I kept doing it. And I began to gain an appetite for it. Come on, somebody say amen. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Amen. Glory to God. I'm about to say something else. That's why I just laughed, because it just kind of came. It was flowing there. Just y'all want me to say it? Amen. You know, they're just some ugly people. You know what I mean? And you know, if you hang around them enough time repetitiously, they won't look as ugly to you. You know what I mean? You be like, dang. You be like, Whoopi look pretty good. You made me do it, Brother George. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Amen. You get around them long enough, it start getting on you, don't it? Come on, somebody say amen. It start weighing on you. Amen. You be like, dang, you beautiful. Amen. Lord, where was I at? James chapter 1. Let no man say when he is tempted that I am tempted of God. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor. You're going to learn something today. Your temptation does not come from God. God ain't throwing out monkey wrenches in your program to see, to prove to you where you are. Temptation does not come from God. Come on. Temptation, amen, don't come from God. There is a source of the temptation. And the source is Satan. But guess, watch this right here. The only reason Satan can tempt you is because it's in you. See, I've grown and I've learned to say, God, help me get this out of me now. Instead of me trying to blame everybody else. See, you can't even really blame the devil because he just put it in front of you because he knows it's in you. Y'all know what I'm talking about. See, the deception of the mouse trap is that the mice likes the cheese. So it ain't nothing wrong with the person who set the trap. It's something wrong with the one who wanted to get the cheese off the trap. Amen. Here we go. Watch this. This deep right here. See, we talking about in Christ realities. But before we can start telling you about all the power and all the glory you got and how you can raise the dead, we first got to deal with what's in you. Look at this right here. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man, but every man. Somebody say every man. Every man. Point yourself, say every man is me. Man. Is tempted when he is drawn away of his what? His own lust. And is enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth what? And sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth what? My brethren, do not err. Listen, this is powerful right here. He can only tempt you by that which is common to you. Amen? That which is in you. As I said, instead of trying to deny the apple pie, let's get the apple pie out of us. Y'all understand that analogy? Let's get it out of us. Let's reckon ourselves indeed dead so when the enemy come, we can stand like Jesus. You can't touch this because it ain't nothing in me. I'm crucified with Christ. Now, why do we get tempted? It's because we like it. Tell your neighbor, say, Mikey likes it. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. We like it. You got to get to the place where you cry out to God and say, God, get this out of me because I like doing it. Come on, somebody say amen. See, I didn't quit smoking and drinking and cussing people out until I wanted to get it out of me. But as long as I liked it, no one can help me. Come on, somebody say amen. Nobody could help me. Listen, you can get Bishop T.D. Jakes and he can say, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. God better get out, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. And guess what? I'll be standing there not ready because I ain't ready. I don't want to let go of it. Now, I can lie to you and say, you know what? I want to let go of it. I want to get rid of it. But guess what? God know my heart. Come on, somebody say amen. God know your heart. Amen. The beautiful thing is that God loves us. He'll work with us. You know, people will judge us and people will write us off, but God loves us right where we are. That's powerful. His grace is sufficient for us. Now look at Romans chapter 13, verse 14. This is going to help you out right here. Remember I said that just the same way we bore the image or we put on as clothes the image of the earthly, we will bear the image of the heavenly. We will put on as clothes the image of the heavenly. Now, here's a revelation of it right here, okay? Remember when Adam was in the garden? When Adam came out the garden and he was hiding from God and he was trying to cover himself. Why was he trying to cover himself? Because the Bible said he saw that he was what? Well, people say, well, he was naked all the time. No, he wasn't. The Bible said he was naked and not ashamed, meaning he was naked naturally. But something else was covering him. It was the glory of God. I call it the glory coat. He was so clothed with God. When he talked, God was released out of his words. When he walked, God was with him. The Bible said God walked with him in the cool of the day, in the spirit of the day, or he walked in the spirit. You got to catch what I'm saying here. This man had God all over him and in him. And don't get it twisted. This is how we are supposed to walk now. The Bible said, walk in the spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You got to catch this right here. When you walk in the spirit. But what happened is that this man lost his glory coat. And all of a sudden, he starts seeing himself naked. And then he tried to cover himself up with fig leaves. That's why Jesus cursed the fig tree. Because it was man trying to fix his problems in his own power. See, the fig tree, it wasn't time for it to bear fruit. So why would Jesus curse the fig tree? When he saw the fig tree, it reminded him of what happened in the garden. You're trying to be self-righteous. God don't want you to do it yourself. Well, I just write about 10 laws on a piece of paper. You know what I mean? Thou shalt not, that's self-righteous. God wants to write his word in your heart. David said, I hide your word in my heart that I sin not against you. When I get it in my heart, when I get those other trees, G-Rod, out of my life, this barren fruit of bitterness and unforgiveness and anger and rebellion and witchcraft and all of that stuff that's been dead, it's ready to be pulled up, spray some Roundup on it. God dealt with it already, but I got to get rid of that stuff. I got to quit liking it. My God. Romans 13 and 14. Look what it says here. It says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what God is doing? He's trying to get you back the way you was in the garden. I just said something powerful. He said, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like you got up this morning and you put on some clothes. Every day you got to get up and put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Man. The Bible says in Ephesians that we should put on the whole armor of God. And then the Bible describes the armor of God and it covers you from head to toe. You can be head to toe. That's a revelation right there. Head to toe. Listen, you got to catch this right here. God wants us covered with Jesus, clothed with Jesus. Don't let nobody lie to you and tell you you can't walk in this victory. Don't let nobody tell you your life will always be the way it is. Don't let nobody tell you you will never get nothing no more than what you have. The devil is a liar. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You know, I love, can I do something? I'm not bragging. I'm boasting in the Lord. Can I boast in the Lord? We 3.5 years old. And I know some people are missing today, but we've been averaging almost 110 people every service since January. You know what I mean? So we're going to call them in Jesus' name. But after 3.5 years, we're about to buy a property that's our own as a church. I'm just boasting in God. Now, you know what the Lord spoke to me? The reason why I'm giving you the building, because I see the end from the beginning. You got to catch what I just said. I see the end from the beginning. See, God know my heart. He know my wife's heart. We ain't afraid to go to nobody's house. And our team ain't afraid to go to nobody's house. Most of our team used to be in those houses. Somebody say amen to this. We ain't afraid to go to nobody's house, knock on their door, stop the cars, amen, invite them to church. You know what I mean? We're not afraid of that. Not we're big shots or something like that, but we already been there. We done that. Somebody say been there and done that. Amen. But we're going to reach the people. But, man, I'm telling you what. Faith is a powerful thing when you start operating in it. When you start believing the word, confessing the word, standing on the word. I don't care where you are. You could be in a basement of a place in your life where there's nothing there but you, a chair, rats, and cockroaches. If all you have is the word of God, you have everything. You are unlimited. You can change the course of your life by the words of God that's on the inside of you. You can make a difference. I'm telling you, the only thing that is hindering you, can I pull it out and be done with it? The Bible says this right here. I'm just going to give it to you so you can see it in the scripture. Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to show it to you. So guess what? Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, I got to deal with me. I got to deal with me, see? Because everybody like, I want to see the glory of God. I'm going to show you what's hindering the glory. Because I'm about to mess up somebody's theology right here. I want you to see Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. This is powerful. You'll never forget this after I teach you this right here. And then I promise you I'm done. I'm going to end with verse 21. I'm going to end with verse 21 and we're going to be done. Cool? Verse 16 says, this I say then, walk where? And you shall not fulfill. Now the Bible ain't speaking figuratively. He's telling you if you walk in the spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Period. If you walk in the spirit. Now watch this right here. For the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another. Now, we capitalize this in the King James Version, but your flesh don't lust against the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody say amen. It's talking about your old nature wrestling against the new nature. Okay? the person who you are in Christ, when you come and you hear Pastor Claude teach these powerful words, and you know what you feel? You feel good on the inside. You feel like I can go out and I can conquer the world. But then all of a sudden, Tuesday come, and some of your homeboys or homegirls come around you, and they're like, let's go do this, let's go do that, let's go do that. All of a sudden, that which is in you is exposed. Can I say something powerful? I'm not done yet. I'm going to say something powerful. There is nothing wrong with pornography. See, somebody, you look at it, y'all think I'm about to say some sin, but I'm not. Pornography is only the thing that reveals what's in your heart. There's nothing wrong with alcohol. Alcohol only reveals what's in your heart. There's nothing wrong with weed. You got to catch what I'm saying. Everything that God made was made for a purpose. Weed only reveals what is in your heart. Are y'all catching what I'm saying here? You and I can go down there and ban every bar in this city, stand out and picket them and say, you know what? No more bars, no more bars, no more bars. And guess what? Somebody will start an all-night bar in their house in their basement because it's in their heart. But if we can change the heart, we can shut down the bar permanently. I want to make sure everybody got what I said. I'm not telling you go out and smoke. I didn't say that. What I said is that the problem ain't out here. The problem is in here. And then we want to know, why can't we see the power of God? Because there's some trees in me. Come on. Verse 18, but if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. The word led, ago, or aga, it means to be carried by, under the control of the Spirit of God. How do you get that way? I heard some old stupid, ignorant preacher on the radio the other day. I was so mad, I wanted to call up the television show. Dumb, stupid, ignorant preacher. I wanted to call the television show because he was on there talking about, you know, it's one of them secret churches. He was on there talking about, oh, well, here's the five principles to make a good marriage. And he got down to being filled with the Spirit. And this is what he said. Well, being filled with the Spirit is not jerking and shaking and all this other stuff like that. I'm like, it's evident you've never been filled with the Spirit, you idiot. It's evident you've never been filled. Because when you get an encounter with God, emotions is going to be revealed. I don't care if you're black, white, Mexican, whatever. If you've ever been touched by God. Now, I know sometimes we take it to the extreme, but I'd rather be somewhere where I can feel God. I don't just want to hear about him. I want to know he's there. I don't want to just be with my wife by faith. Sometimes I want to feel my wife. I want to know she loved me and I love her. God didn't give you emotions so you can cut them off. Amen. I'm preaching. I'm just trying to help you. See, I pursue the presence of God until I can experience him. And I'm not looking for experiences, but guess what? I'm looking for him. And that experience lets me know, you know what? He's with me. I start crying and tears come down my face. And I'm a 40-year-old man, but I know he loves me. No matter what I did wrong, when his presence comes on me. That's why I say, Julie, let's keep singing until the power fall. I don't want no dry, dead church where people just come sit in the pew, 15 minutes of preaching and a couple songs and walk out the door. No, I want people's lives changed. He changed me. Come on, somebody say amen. I didn't get changed by some guy with some witty words and wisdom to talk. No, no, no. Some old bummy looking guy with long hair and rubber boots laid hands on me, and he must have knew God because he said, Jesus, and something changed my life. Wasn't just a bump. You better catch what I'm saying. We need the power of God. Only way we're going to operate in the power of God is we're going to start dealing with these trees in me. I'm not just talking about me. I'm just saying it because I'm a rapper and I like to rhyme. We got some stuff on the inside of us. We got to let the Spirit of God deal with. Mindsets, thoughts, attitudes, ways of how we deal with people, talk to people. And the Spirit of God can't work through all that mess. Be like walking through a forest with no light on you, running into trunks and trees. My God. Last time I read the Bible said that he coming back for a glorious church. not one that's faking it until they make it, but one that's faith in it until they make it. A glorious church without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. That means that guess what? When you come through these doors, Garden of Eden should come upon you. Some kind of power from heaven should change you. Come on, Holy Ghost, give me that Wigglesworth. I want it bad. You got to catch what I'm saying. I want it bad. I don't want to just talk about Jesus no more. I want to show that he's Lord. I'm almost done, y'all. I promise. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. I'm going to prove it to you. This is what's hindering the power of God. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit what? Now, some people think that's talking about heaven. That's not talking about heaven. It's talking about your position in Christ. When it's talking about kingdom, it's the Greek word basileia, which means the rule and the reign of God. What he's saying is that you can't rule in life if you're being ruled in life. How are you going to control if you're being controlled? Oh, I heard that prophetic word right there. I just heard the Lord say it to me just right there. See, the reason why the church is saying we're the head and we're not experiencing the head, because dominion is a product, watch this, of self-dominion. External government is a product of self-government. One of the fruit of the Spirit, if you keep reading, is self-control. It's temperance. I mean, I have the ability to say no. You got to catch what I'm saying. See, when Satan comes, there's nothing in me. See, my wife called me the other day, and I'm in with this, and I promise. I know you guys have been blessed, and I'm praying that you walk out of here and that you just get so mad at life that you just get in your prayer closet and just start praying in tongues for an hour, 2 hours, confessing the word. Do whatever you got to do to get the power of God manifest in your life. My wife called me the other day, and she said something to me, and I was feeling okay. She said to me, she said, honey, she said, an overwhelming feeling came over me. And she said, I had to get Johnny to turn the radio off, because I need you to pray. Make sure you pray before you do this job. Now, whenever my wife says this, I have to listen to her, because we were teenagers and I was a young, rebellious person, drinking and a smoking and a drink. And hey, yeah, I was just hanging out, doing whatever I wanted to do. And my wife told me, she said, I had a dream that this house caught on fire. And I was supposed to go over there with the dog in Detroit and sit inside the house that night and watch the house until we came over the next day. But I listened to my wife. My mother was yelling at me. Everybody was all disagreement. That night, the house caught on fire. Am I telling the truth? So she told me this the other day. She said, you need to pray. So I grabbed the guy's hands at work, whoever with me. They know we prayed and everything. When I was up on top of the roof, the devil started speaking to me. He started attacking my mind. He said, you're going to die right here. You're going to drop dead right here. It's going to be a mockery to the whole kingdom of God. Your wife ain't going to be able to take care of herself. Have you ever heard the devil talk to you like that before? And he just started talking to me. And then all of a sudden, something else came by way of my telephone that I never, ever expected before in my life. And it came, and it was the enemy trying to attack me. The enemy was trying to attack me. And I said, God, I said, and the Lord said, the reason why this is happening is because the message you preach Wednesday. You got to catch what I'm saying here. There is a real enemy, and his access to you is what's in you. So you got to deal with what's in you. Don't just frivolously walk away from what's in you and ignore it. Allow the Spirit of God to lead you. Come on, somebody say amen to this. Come on, stand up and give the Lord a hand clap. My purpose for preaching the gospel, the way that I preach the gospel, is for this reason right here. To get you to a place where you and I, assimilated into the body of the anointed one, Jesus, can operate under the power of God. So powerful that people are running through the doors. People who are bound by everything are coming through the doors and they're being changed. Their lives are being changed forever. Amen? Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Now, y'all know I would be, you know I'm telling the truth. We have made church so contemporary that everybody walks in and nobody expects anything anymore. Not here. Not going to happen. One thing Pastor Healy taught me good was the power of God. Not going to happen here. Amen. We ain't going to just come in here and everybody just sit down and, you know what I mean, and just walk out and nobody experience God. Come on. We should be experiencing heaven in earth. I need you to bow your head for me.